Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Henry Hudson Parkway, Stuyvesant Square, the Holland Tunnel, Amsterdam Avenue, Spuitendijvel. It's not hard to find evidence of New York's Dutch heritage even today. But does it go farther than place names? Saturday was the 400th anniversary of Henry Hudson's voyage to what became New Amsterdam and eventually New York. WNYC's Beth Fertig is back from the kickoff celebration of this anniversary in Amsterdam. She's with us now here in our studio. Russell Shorto also joins us from Amsterdam. He's the author of The Island at the Center of the World, the epic story of Dutch Manhattan, and the forgotten colony that shaped America. Russell Shorto, welcome to WNYC.
Hi there, Brian. Very happy to be with you.
And I have to say that I love, love, love your book. It's one of the great histories of New York City.
Very kind of you to say. Thank you.
And Beth, you know I'm your biggest fan. So we're going to open up the phones right away here on the question, what do you think is our shared heritage with the Dutch, if anything, even today? What's in our shared DNA 400 years later? Call us 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Russell Shorto, one of the themes of the commemoration year is shared DNA. What do you think we still do share with the Dutch?
Well, the Dutch ceded a lot when they founded their colony in what later became New York. And I think the two main things, if you go back 400 years and look at the world then, the two main things were the Dutch approach to free trade. They more or less invented capitalism, although it wasn't called that at the time, and this notion called tolerance, which they really did craft in the 17th century. And they did not out of some grand ideal, but because these were the Low Countries, and they were easy to flee to from other parts of Europe, and so they were forced with people from all different places living together, and they fashioned this as a kind of social glue to keep them together. So when they founded a colony centered on Manhattan Island, these things came along with it, and I think if you put those two things together, that's the basis of New York City, and it's also what distinguished New York from Boston and other parts of British North America.
Boston, for example, being more Puritan and more socially intolerant?
Yeah, well, certainly. New England was all throughout, and in fact, even in the colonial period, when the Dutch colony was still in place, there were a lot of English who fled Puritan England, went to the New World, went to New England, but they discovered there that the New World Puritans were trying to out-Puritan the home country Puritans, and so the Dutch leaders kind of waved this tolerance thing like a flag, saying, "We'll come here."
Beth Fertig, you asked some of the people you met in Amsterdam last week if their city had a lot in common with New York. Let's hear some of their answers.
Well, I agree because it's multicultural. I disagree because Amsterdam is a village compared to New York.
It's New York City is full of tall cities, tall buildings, and Amsterdam is very low and a lot of canals.
Maybe the open-minded spirit is the same, but like further, I don't think that it's comparable.
It's crowded, a lot of foreigners. Maybe same as Amsterdam.
So, Beth, was it your first time in Amsterdam?
No, it wasn't. I'd been there about 9 years ago, but I definitely felt like I got a more insider perspective this time than, being a tourist.
And what were some of the things that you discovered that the two cities share?
This notion that, as Russell described, that the Dutch planted the seeds for a multicultural society, which is now not just unique to New York, but most modern cities, I could see where that was coming from being there. I could definitely see that. And the whole idea of, that capitalism started there, it was a city built on trade just like we are. So I definitely thought about that a lot as I walked around. But I also thought about how much we're different, because the scale of the city, obviously, the woman who said we're more like a global village in Amsterdam, that really struck me as an accurate phrase, because there's nothing more than six stories high in the main, center city of Amsterdam. And, the buildings look like some of our buildings, in lower Manhattan that are low scale. But the canals, we don't have that sort of layout that they have. And the bicycling, which is just everywhere in Amsterdam, that the concept that you can have these shared streets with bike lanes and trolley lanes and bus lanes and car lanes and everything flows without even any honking horns was so foreign to me as a New Yorker. But I thought, you know, this could work. You know, this is the way a modern city could work if designed a different way.
And Russell, you want to answer the same question?
Yeah, well, the one thing that none of the people quoted mentioned, but you saw it exhibited, I think, in the way they responded was, people in Amsterdam are known for a certain frankness and bluntness, which mm-hmm. Americans also think about New Yorkers, and you see that and you feel that, and if like me, you go back and forth between the two cities, they don't seem that different, and in both places, in fact. If you're in the heartland of the U.S., people will tend to say New York, well, that's not really America. Well, if you're elsewhere in the Netherlands, people will say Amsterdam, that's not the real, those aren't the real Dutch people.
Yeah, you know, I felt we were speaking the same language with that bum, 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 you know, just be direct yeah. thing.
By the way, a number of people have called in to correct the reference to the Holland Tunnel. That was named after a man named Holland and had nothing to do with the yeah. country. So I stand corrected on that one. Begun in 1920, completed in 1927, the tunnel is named after Clifford Milburn Holland. Just thought you'd like to know to set the record straight. But what's in our shared DNA? Rachel in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Good.
Great. So I agree about that comment regarding the canals not being in New York City and the cycle lanes not being in New York City. However, if you look at the brownstones of New York City and you compare them with the houses in Amsterdam, the Dutch houses, which happen to be, I think, more tall and narrow, they actually looked very similar to each other. So when I was in Amsterdam in 2002, I couldn't believe the similarity between these two architectural dynamics. I was wondering if you thought that there was indeed a connection between our architectural history here in the city.
Beth, just from your observing the city on your two trips there?
The townhouses definitely looked similar to me. Russell, you probably know more about the architecture.
Well, I was going to say in response to the quote that, I mean, obviously if you're in Midtown Manhattan looking at skyscrapers, that's not Amsterdam. But if you're in the West Village of New York and you're comparing that with the center, the 17th century center of Amsterdam, you have the same kind of feeling. But those two things don't, I think, historically relate to each other. I mean, what the Dutch left in New York, in Manhattan, was below Wall Street, was the financial district. That was New Amsterdam. And in fact, the street pattern there is still the street pattern that was laid out by the Dutch. And they did indeed have little, slender, gabled canal houses.
Peter in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi. When the English took over New Amsterdam, the Dutch all said, there goes the neighborhood, and moved to Brooklyn, hence the Brooklyn accent.
Do you think what we generally consider the Brooklyn accent, Russell, has any Dutch roots?
Well, first of all, it's not the case that the Dutch left. The whole point was that of this multi-ethnicity was that it was a multi-ethnic community under the Dutch, and it stayed that way under the English. People didn't leave, and it only became more multi-ethnic as time went by. However, I have heard historians give talks on the Brooklyn accent and Long Island in general, and the Long Island itself. The name Long Island comes from the Dutch. They named it that. And that kind of classic pronunciation, I have heard it said, comes from the Dutch, but I don't know how you go about proving that.
What about the name Brooklyn?
Oh, Brooklyn, yeah. That's named after a city not far from where I'm sitting here, Brooklyn.
Beth, you were...
As is, of course, Harlem, Harlem, which was originally New Harlem, was named after a Dutch city.
And right. Yonkers?
Yonkers was named after if you read my book, you encounter the figure of Adrian van der Donk, who was, I think of him as the unheralded father of New York, and he owned an estate that covered that whole part of southern Westchester, and he was called the Yonker, which is a Dutch title meaning sort of young squire, and then that eventually became corrupted into the name Yonkers.
And Russell, the actual anniversary that's being observed, it was 400 years ago Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, that Henry Hudson left the Netherlands in search of who knows what, and then he later arrived in New York. But it's the anniversary of his departure. Is that correct?
That's right. He left Amsterdam in search of a shortcut to Asia, and instead he found this obstacle, which is North America, and he charted the area that the Dutch laid claim to, and he was an Englishman sailing on behalf of the Dutch, which is why the Dutch laid claim to it, and he arrived there in September after doing a lot of other shenanigans, and so New York's festivities are really going to be in September, and in fact, another little flicker of irony, he sailed past Manhattan on September 11th.
Wow. But it was 117 years after Columbus. He didn't know he was going to run into the New World on the way to Asia?
He knew he was running into the New World, but the thinking at the time was that the globe was much smaller than it actually is, and they thought that North America was about a third the size that it is, and that there was a channel that went through it, so that instead of reaching, say, Ohio, he would reach the Sea of Japan.
And he found the Hudson River.
And on this 400th anniversary of Henry Hutchins' departure from Amsterdam for what became New York, what do we have in our shared DNA between the Dutch and the New Yorkers, Santiago and the Bronx? You're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, I'm a Brooklynite that was born in Harlem, but I noticed you guys going further north. You talk about Yonkers and up there.
Well, we were just talking about Harlem, too.
Oh, you're talking about Harlem. All right. Well, Boston. I was just in Boston last weekend. Every time I go there, I'm amazed. You know, I compare, because they've done such gentrification in old buildings in Boston. They're just the same in New York, you know. And I'm amazed comparing the architecture, how much influence that the Dutch have in architecture in Harlem. I mean, in Boston.
In Boston? And any, Russell, as far as you know?
No, that was really, that remained, of course, New England remained English, and then the English encroached from both New England and Virginia onto the Dutch colony. And the Dutch colony, by the way, was not just, you know, Manhattan and its environments. It was all or parts of five future states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Delaware. So it was that whole middle Atlantic region. But then, of course, the English eventually took it over. So, no, the Dutch didn't have much impact on Boston.
Of course, there's Van Cortlandt Park in the Bronx. And Doug in Brooklyn has some more. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I live on right near Newkirk Avenue. And when I was in Amsterdam recently, I walked around Oudenkerk. So I thought that was very interesting. All of these neighborhoods in Victorian Flatbush, as it's called now, many of them have a lot of Dutch names. And also, a lot of the Dutch people that I spoke to when they found out I was from New York really wanted me to make sure that I knew about the Dutch influence on my city. They wanted me to forget the British altogether and just remember this great Dutch empire that once existed.
Doug, thank you for your call. Now, Beth, you were there to report on how Dutch schools deal with issues around immigration. Is it much different from ours?
There's similarities and differences. You know, one reason Russell invited me to speak at the town hall on Saturday night was because the Dutch are dealing with a very multicultural society in Amsterdam with, you know, people from something like 150 different countries, and languages spoken in Amsterdam. The city itself is now just over 50% white European, which means it's, you know, about 49% non-white immigrants, children of immigrants, and that's a lot like New York. And they were interested in hearing how our schools adopt immigrants and work with immigrants. And so I talked about the different programs for English language learners here. But what I saw when I went to the equivalent of a high school there in the west of Amsterdam, where a lot of Moroccan and Turkish immigrants live, they discussed how they were really dealing with low academic performance of these immigrants who were not even immigrants. They've been there for two generations now. They grew up in Amsterdam. They speak Dutch. But the reason they were falling behind is something that I heard again and again in my, you know, interviews of schools in New York City, is that these students, even though they spoke Dutch, their reading and writing of Dutch was not very sophisticated, probably because their parents weren't speaking the language at home and didn't have much education. And so it stunted their studies, and the school was trying to expand their vocabulary, having a longer school day. But also, what is uniquely a little different over there is that they don't feel as fully integrated, perhaps, as immigrants here. They're Muslim immigrants who were the children of guest workers who came. And this Dutch notion of tolerance also has a history of indifference. is what I heard from people.
What do you mean indifference?
Well, they called it pillars, that each religion could have their pillar, and you know, you'd have Catholics and different Protestant sects all there together, but they wouldn't really interact and blend. They just sort of respected that everyone was there. And the Muslims, the immigrants, were just sort of, okay, you're here, you have your mosques, do your thing. But over the years, that bred some resentment, and it bubbled over, of course, in 2004 with the murder of the filmmaker Theo van Gogh by an Islamic militant who was angry about the anti-Islamic message of Van Gogh's film. And the Dutch really had to grapple with this notion of how much have we assimilated the Muslims and the immigrants into our society? And do they really feel like there's social mobility and that they can all get along? And what I heard is from mosque leaders is, you know, they don't. They feel like even if they get a high school degree, they still have lesser job prospects. And the very fact that they call all of the non-Westerners blacks was shocking to me as an American, that they said, we're taking you to a black school. Well, anyone is called black if they're not a Westerner. And they said, this isn't racist. We're just being matter of fact. We're not politically correct like you. But when I spoke to people at the mosques, they said, you know, we don't like that term. We wish they would call us Dutch. You know, our children are going to be Dutch just like theirs.
And some of them were second generation, third generation,
yeah, exactly.
You're saying.
Yeah.
So, Russell Shorto, do you think there is a difference in the meaning of the word tolerance in the Netherlands compared to in New York?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, everybody knows Dutch tolerance, and they talk about things like legalized sex and drugs and things like that. And I think it's a difficult topic to unpack, but I think Beth is exactly right in the way she's trying to explain what they have tried to do here, this notion, this pillar system that they had in place in the Netherlands for much of the 20th century was a way of tolerating different groups by basically keeping them apart. I mean, here the different groups had their own radio station, their own television station, their own neighborhoods, and what suddenly became apparent with the murder of Theo van Gogh was, this doesn't work anymore. What, you know, maybe it worked when you had one group was Catholic and one group was Protestant, and then you had a little socialist group here and, you know, different things like that. But we're in a different world now, and that approach to tolerance doesn't work. And so that's something that I think they can learn from the U.S.
And it's a source of tension here, too. I mean, nobody talks about the melting pot anymore. We talk about the mosaic. We don't so much talk about assimilation, which in many immigrant circles is a dirty word, as opposed to talking about multiculturalism. So we have the same kinds of tensions here.
Yeah, but it's different. I think, and here's the way I have characterized it to people. I've said that I think if you went to some little town in the Midwest of the U.S., and let's say it's mostly white, but they suddenly get an influx of people from, you know, from Vietnam or whatever, and it causes problems, and there's discrimination, there's tensions. But in the minds of the people there, they would know, they would have it in their mind that they ought to be acting differently, and that these people ought to and will eventually become Americans. And here, if the same thing happened in a little town in the eastern part of the Netherlands, I'm not sure that would be in the back of their minds, and I think that's the difference.
You know, you mentioned a smaller town with immigrants starting to come in from places like Vietnam. Did the Binghamton massacre on Friday result in news coverage in Amsterdam? Did people pay attention to that at all, Beth?
Yeah.
Russell, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, yes, there was coverage of that, but we were also in the midst of all of our preparations, so I didn't follow it too closely, but go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, and we're going to talk in our next segment about the culture of assimilation, if you want to call it that, of immigrants from all over the world literally getting together under one roof in Binghamton, New York, as in many places around the New York City metropolitan area. And we will look beyond the killing itself to the culture that's been revealed to many non-immigrants, the amazing culture of that place that still exists and exists around here, too. Beth, a last thought on that?
Well, it's much harder to get a gun. So I don't think you would have had a killing like that over there. The guns are illegal.
All right. WNYC's Beth Fertig and Russell Shorto, who is the author of The Island at the Center of the World, The Epic Story of Dutch Manhattan and the Forgotten Colony that Shaped America. And Beth, we're going to go out with a few more voices that you collected when visiting the Netherlands. This is the responses to the question, what would it be like in New York if we had stayed Dutch, correct?
Yes.
Russell, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Beth, thanks a lot.
You're
and
welcome.
What might New York have been like had we remained under Dutch rather than British control?
Yeah, well, first of all, you would speak like you have sand in your throat all the time, so ha, 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 that would be the first thing, I think. And secondly, I think it wouldn't be that huge.
They like building things like just like Amsterdam in rings. And
you would have cows, you would have canals, you would have tulips. You would have a lot of marijuana places, coffee shops.
Yeah, it would be so, way more liberal, I guess.
Yeah. You would have a gay marriage.
Yeah.
And 400 years ago Saturday, Henry Hudson set sail for what turned out to be New York. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. We will talk about the amazing culture of the American Civic Association in Binghamton and places like it here in New York.